Israel when they came out of Egypt. As long as the fire was on the altar, it was a reminder that God was with them. So how many wants to fire the altar? Amen. We thank God today for being here. We thank God for all of you. We just thank God for being in the presence of the Lord. We thank God for all of our friends, visitors, and guests. Amen. Thank God for Monique. Sister Monique, all the way from Chicago. Windy City. She got a promotion and God moved her on. I might pray for an emotion so God can bring her back. Oh, Lord. Amen. But God is good. We thank God for my wife. Amen. Bless her life, health, and strength. Amen. And how she's pressing. I know how she's pressing. She knows how she's pressing. And some of our kids that come to the house knows how she's pressing. You will never know it, but she's pressing. Amen. We thank God for that. I also want to thank God for allowing us to go to Georgia and back. And I'm going to give my wife testimony about Georgia. She was determined she's going to raise $1,000. Amen. So she did sewing. She went to flea markets and sold the items. And she sold video to CDs. And listen, she made $1,000 and then put one penny in her pocket. Amen. And she made $1,000 and then put one penny in her pocket. Matter of fact, that made some money. She took mine too. That's part, but I'm just saying God is good, right? Because everyone that went wasn't able to provide their own rooms, amen. Also, want to thank God for the Gibbs family. They couldn't go, but they gave a donation of one room. Can we say praise the Lord? That's how God's people should be, amen. We should be not self-centered. Can we say saint-centered?
Saint-centered.
All right, y'all ain't helping me out. Come on, help me a little bit. We should be self-centered, but we ought to be saint-centered. Because it's not about me, but it's all about Jesus. Even the Lord says that we ought to esteem others better than ourselves. So that means we ought to be saint-centered.
Yes.
Amen. If we would get off of our... Oh yeah. Minister Simon donated the CDs.
Amen.
Yeah, that whole tub of CDs, he donated. Amen. You know, because we're a small church. We make some great accomplishments for a small church. But you know why we do it? Because we come together.
Yes.
Amen. We work together. It's not about I, about no big I's and little E's, but it's about us.
Amen.
It takes one. How many know the body of Christ is one?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. If we ever learn individually in our lives, amen, to start lifting others up in prayer, the Bible says, oh, no man anything but to do what?
Love
them. That's what we ought to do. We ought to love one another. Y'all don't get quiet on me? I'm just telling you how church ought to be. The Bible said Jesus was rich. But for our sake, he became poor. How in the world can God be rich? Think about that. The Bible said the earth is the Lord and the God is there. The world. But that God became poor that he might redeem us. Isn't that a great example to follow? I'm not telling y'all to give your own money up, so don't get nervous. All right? I know sometimes when we start talking like this, we say, well, he's getting ready to get in our pockets. I'm not worried about your pockets. God sustains us. But I'm talking about a spirit to be like Jesus. A spirit to be like, you know what? If nobody ever gave a dime, if this ministry is ordained of God, God will take care of this. So y'all knows I don't never ask for money. Every once in a while, a little bit. But it's never for me. This is a true story. When we went to get to our church, when the banker saw how much my wife and I made, he said, we can't sell y'all a church. Y'all don't even make enough money to live by yourselves. No lie, it's a true story. And he said, wait a minute, because you and the pastor, the sister pastor, can be one of the guarantors. He said, he looked at us, he said, where's the rest of your income? That's it. Right? Oh, yeah, because I gave half my income up. That's right. I did give half of it. Right? You know, because you know it's not about me. But the banker looked at us. He said, I can't sell you this church. He said, forget about the church. He said, how are you and your wife living? Can somebody say, but God? Come on, but God. God can make a way where there is. So as in church, if we learn to put others first, amen, and not worry about ourselves. I got a lot of other stories I tell, but let's get into the word, because I know we might have some clock watchers, but y'all gain an extra hour today. So y'all want to give that to me. No, I don't. Amen. Let us stand for my scripture reading. Amen. We praise the Lord. We thank God for all of you. But God is good. If we ever learn to stop focusing on self, right? Just like Jesus, the Bible said he humbled himself. Listen, I heard a bishop say this, and I thought this was one of the most outstanding things I ever heard. The bishop said, death couldn't kill Jesus. Why couldn't death kill Jesus? It's very simple, because the wages of sin is, but Jesus in hand. So death couldn't kill him. Jesus had to humble himself. He submitted to death, but death, if Jesus said, hey, you can't touch me, he couldn't kill him, because the only way that death has power over us is because of sin. But Jesus had no sin. But he and became obedient. Listen, he didn't just humble himself, he became obedient. Jesus looked at death and said, you know, you got no power over me. That's what he said. He says, you got no power over me. He said, but for this cause was I born. Yes. And for this purpose came I into the world. Yes. So he said, I'm going to give myself so that I can redeem my people. Hallelujah. How many know that death? That's why when Jesus was in the garden praying, the Bible said he prayed until his sweat became great drops of blood. You know why? Because death was trying to get him to quit. He said, this is why I came. I came to redeem him.
Power over me.
He said, I have power.
preach that, Lord, make me a house of prayer. And the thing just got power. You know, I must have it. Lord, make me a house of prayer. Day and night and night and day. Day and night and night and day. Lord, make me a house of prayer. Greatest blessing. Greater than money, because when we leave, you can't take it with us. Greater than a mansion on a hill, but you can't take it with you. But when you got Jesus on your side, it's in my Father's house. There are. When you got Jesus in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Amen. So I don't worry about a mansion out here because I got to leave. But when I get up there, that mansion, hallelujah, I live in it throughout eternity. Now that's the mansion I want. But Romans, the fourth chapter, we're going to read verses 13 through 24 together. Anybody just glad they know more? Joseph, now I don't need you to tell me what you heard. I don't need you to tell me what you saw. Joseph, I heard of it. By the hearing of the ear. He said, but now my eyes do see. And when Job concluded, he said, things too wonderful for me that I do. When you know God, you see some stuff you ain't never seen before. Somebody said, well, how can I see it because you don't know it? All right. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
All right. Verse 13 reads, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the the righteousness of faith. When they which are the law be heirs, faith is made for, and the promise made of, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, that it might be by grace to the end the promise. Wait, the promise is what? Sure. To all. How many is a seed? Then the promise is sure for you. And not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father. Before him whom he believed, even God, who only God can bring life to something that's dead. Quicker than me, you make it alive because it is. Alright, I gotta read this. Okay. Tell me, slow down, Pastor. Hold my tail. Y'all slow me down. I can't get ahead of myself. But he quickened the dead. And only God can call those things that. And so God can make something out of nothing. He can quicken the dead and call those things that be not as though they were. Who? He's dead. got God on your side. Because God will open a door that what? No man can shut. And then you know a whole lot of people are trying to get you into stuff. The Bible says if you love God and know God, God will shut a door that no man can open. So the thing you have to decide is, does God want you to go through the door or is the door shut? That's our problem. We need to decide, what do I do at the door? If God opens it, then you can walk through it. When a man is open it, hallelujah. If I'm walking through a door and I don't see God and God is behind me, I'm not going to go through the door. Because if I go through the door without God, I have no power. But if God is leading me, listen, when Israel came out of Egypt, God went before them by a pillar of a cloud. What was he doing? He was leading them. So there is hope. But don't you give up. Now, there are many words in the Hebrew language for hope. There's the Hebrew word problem. Then there is also the Hebrew word yacham, Y-A-C-H-A-M. And these Hebrew words for hope, they are interchangeable. They can be hope, they can be wait, and they can also be trust. God in his infinite wisdom, he can use those words interchangeably. So somebody said, wait on the Lord. That don't mean just sit down and do nothing. When you hope, that don't mean just do nothing. That, when you trust, that don't mean do nothing. All right? So the word they use for hope is like you take, you ever see a rope? How many know that a rope is not made up of one strand? But a rope is made up of many strands that are what? Bound together. That's what a rope is. So hope and trust and waiting is when you're binding a rope together. Because when you tweak, when you wrap that rope together, nothing can break it. That's what wait means. It means bind it together and then nothing can break it. That is hope. Hope can also be defined as a joyful expectation with confidence. Look at somebody say confidence. Why? Look at somebody tell me. Y'all ain't gonna be all quiet. This ain't a quiet church. With confidence. Joyful expectation. What was my expectation? A lot of people say, I got hope, they look like they don't have no joy. Yeah, some people think, yeah, I know God's gonna do it, and all they doing is crying. You're supposed to have some joyful expectation with confidence. With the full assurance of knowing that God is gonna work it out favorably for you. That's hope. That's hope. That hope is, I got joy. Anybody got some joy? Things aren't good, but I still got joy. Stuff is falling apart, I still got joy. I got joy that the world can give to me. I got joy that the world can't take away. That is my hope. Yes, sir. So somebody said, well, I'm just in church, I'm just here. You ever see, thank God, none of y'all, I'm all right. If y'all do like this, it's okay. Y'all all right. You go to church, somebody said, well, I know God's going to do it. Then you see him and say, wow, do you know God? You ever look at him? Somebody said, but God's going to do it. You know, I know he's going to do it. Man, if God's going to do it for you, I don't want that. They don't have no joy. How can you be saved and have joy when the scripture says with joy that we draw water out of the wells? Well, I'll tell you, when people start talking like that to me, I always go the other way. Oh, I can tell you, right? I talk to somebody and say, well, how you doing? Getting old? I said, he didn't say that. He said, we know that all about y'all, let me give y'all an example, right? The Bible said he was tempted with all the points of our. Everything that we go through, he was tempted with, but he did not yield to it. Because we have not a high priest, which had not been touched with the feeling of some of our infirmities. So, I might not know, somebody else might not know, but guess who knows?
Because it said if we hope for that, then we.
But God.
If you have God on your side, keep hope alive. Don't lose your hope.
And the most important thing is, don't ever give up. When you give up, you tell God he's too weak.
Whenever we quit, listen, I don't care how difficult the task is, how challenging the situation might be, when you quit, you say, God, this is too big for you. Amen. There is nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. But you have to keep your hope alive, because your hope will produce the impossible. Your hope will make something out of nothing. If hope can bring life out of two dead bodies, if hope can bring life out of two dead bodies, what can God do? Is there anything? I said, is there anything? Let Jesus fix it for you. He knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, just let him have it, because he knows how to fix it for you. But you gotta keep hope alive.
Yes, Lord. Paul said, anybody got some trouble?
Paul said,
Paul said, everywhere I look, there's nothing but trouble.
We're troubled on every side. He said, but we're not in distress. He said, we're perplexed, but we're not
hopeless.
Despair needs to be hopeless. Yes, we got trouble all around us. He said, you know what? I'm going to remember always bearing and bounding the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ might be made manifest in my body. So Paul said, I die daily. My inner man is perishing.
I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and they lie. And they knew. I was in court one time, somebody supposed to tell the truth, they ain't told the truth yet. I said, wow. I hope they wasn't a real Bible. I hope they just had a Bible cover. I hope they weren't laying in. Because when we were down south, whenever we got in trouble, they always had us, they had a remedy to make us tell the truth. All the time. Forget it, never forget it. The child, they said, did you do this? No, I didn't do this. They go, they get the Bible. Put your hand on the Bible and say you didn't do it. I put my hand on the Bible. It worked every time. I don't know, today it don't work, you know. But I'm just saying down south, when we were growing up, they said, okay, if you didn't do it, put your hand on the Bible and say you didn't do it. We reverence God's word. We're going to put our hand on the Bible and tell a lie. All right. Today they lie and didn't get the Bible. Not y'all, but them. Look at somebody and say, not you, but them. Come on, say everybody's going, not you, but them. Amen. He said, for God, because he could swear nobody greater, he swear by himself, saying, possibly I might bless you. Perhaps if things go right, I will bless you. By chance, God said, I'll bless you. But he said, what? Surely blessings I will bless thee, and multiply I will multiply by thee. And so after he had, he went through some stuff for it first. Don't have to promise in church, we don't want to go through nothing. God promised me, I just want to say, after he had what kind of patiently endure. Whatever you're going through, don't quit. Stay the course. God will work it out. After he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Let's just skip down to verse 17. It says, when God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. God has made you a promise. Don't you let nobody talk you out of that promise. The heirs of promise have given the will of his counsel, confirmed it by that by two. It means God does not change. What were the two things? Now they said it is God and his word, but it was the promise and the oath. Yes, what are the two immutable things? God and his word cannot change. But also if he makes you a promise and then he takes an oath and confirms it, God won't change. What about two immutable things and which it is him? Now let's stop right there. Has God spoken something to you and you know God spoke? God did not change his mind because he is immutable. And God cannot. So if God has spoken something in your spirit, why are you no longer pursuing it? It's not God because he won't lie. It's not God because he won't change. So who changed? Who changed from pursuing what God told you to do? Right? Well, what people told me. Forget it. I won't talk about what people told you. I'm asking, what did God tell you? Impossible for God to tell a lie who have fled from refuge and lay hold on me. Oh. Don't give up. The hope is set. The hope is set before you, which hope we have in heaven. When you get hope right, in every, the whole world is caving in around you, that hope is still there. Of your soul. Even when it looks impossible, you won't give up. The psalmist says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good and blessed is the man that trusts in his hope in him. Because it's interchangeable, trust. So if you trust, you hope in him. Blessed is the man. Right? You're blessed if you hope in. Has anybody seen God do great things in your life? That means you have tasted and you have seen. Don't change that. Don't turn your back on God. Somebody said, well, I've been going through this for so long. When is it going to change? I heard Job says, if a man die, shall he live again? He says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait for my change to come. Don't lose your trust, and don't lose your joy at the gifts. Hallelujah.